than ever before. Let's have a word of prayer and we begin our message for this morning. Father God, we come before your presence once again in Jesus' name, just to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to stand before your people. We ask that you would meet us at our point of need. Meet them, meet me. Use me, God, to your glory, praise, and honor. You know what we all stand in need of. Even now, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves. We invite you to convict, convince, and convert. And when it's all said and done, we promise to give you back all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray with thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Meet me, if you would, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 5. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, NLT. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be reading from verses 5 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you're there, say amen. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the New Living Translation reads, "That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses." Don't miss that. "If I wanted to boast," verse 6, "I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though," verse 7, "I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." Verse 8 says, "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away." Don't miss that. "Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.'" Did y'all hear that? "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." Verse 10, "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses." Think of that. "And in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I want to talk around the thought, the idea, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be okay. Understand, when we talk about being okay, we're talking about being satisfied with or accepting something or someone. Okay. In other words, it's okay, it's satisfactory, it's acceptable for me not to be satisfied or acceptable of everything that goes on in my life all the time. I don't have to act like I'm always happy about or accepting of everything that goes down in my life right now, when I really don't. Too many hypocrites. I'm talking about it's okay not to always be okay. Is anybody hearing God this morning? Let me ask the question. Did you know that sometimes when things are not going well, when things are not okay in your life and mine with people or other things, sometimes you have to make changes? I didn't say all the time, sometimes. Let's see if this illustration about the need to change sometimes people in your life who are not the right influences might show you what I mean. There was a man who dialed a wrong number and got the following recording, which said, "I am not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I am making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. And if I do not return your call, you are the one of the changes." Y'all missed it. Y'all get it later. I'm talking about it's okay not to be okay, and sometimes you have to make changes. Somebody has to. How often, those that are in here and those that are watching YouTube and other ways, how often have you run into somebody and been greeted with, "How are you?" And you respond, "I'm okay." Or they might ask you, come on, this is personal, "Are you all right?" And you respond, "I'm good." And you know doggone well you're not good. It's quiet in here. Anybody ever been there? "I'm good." Anybody ever said, "I've said it, I'm good, and I wasn't good"? My wife can say sometimes to me, well, I put her in there, okay, "I'm all right." That don't even sound like you're all right. You got to read through that. How you doing? "I'm okay." What's that drag about? Almost always our automatic response is, "I'm fine," or "I'm doing good," regardless of whether or not it's true. Then we come to church and we proclaim in church services that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and he is good all the time. But I didn't ask you about God being good. I asked you, "Were you good?" And we'll throw in, "God is good." I didn't ask you about God. I asked you, "Were you good?" There are often times when we feel that life is just unfair. Anybody ever just felt that way? Life is unfair. Or maybe even God has put more on my plate than I can handle. Anybody ever felt that way? Be honest. Anybody other than me ever felt that you've been given more in your situation, in your marriage, with your family, with your job, with your finances? Come on, y'all name it. With your health challenges, you've been, "Lord, you've given me more than I can handle." And there are times when we ask God to remove, "Lord, please take it away." Am I right about it, somebody? Let's be honest. I mean, "Lord, please take it away. Take it away. Remove. I can't take no more of this. My child is in trouble. And Lord, why don't you straighten him or her out? I know you can do it. You straighten me out." Paul's statement in this passage is a paradox, or paradoxical statement. A paradox, y'all know this, is a statement that seems to go against common sense, but it can still be true. A paradox, a statement, a situation that may be true, but it seems impossible or difficult to understand because it contains, listen, two opposite facts or characteristics. Understand some paradox examples Here's one that you might have heard or may have said yourself. If I know one thing, it's that I don't know nothing. Paradox. If I know, but then I don't know anything. Okay. Here's another one. This is the beginning of the end. Which one is it? Or you might hear somebody say, deep down, you're really shallow. Which one is it? In the last part of verse 10, we just read it together. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That don't make sense. When you're weak, you're strong. How can that be? It's a paradoxical statement. I'm weak, but I'm strong. Is anybody getting that? Paradoxical when two different opinions clash in one statement or action. And notice in our text, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, when the apostle Paul pleaded with God to remove, God is talking to somebody this morning, you better listen up. When Paul pleaded with God to remove his affliction, he called it a thorn in the flesh, it was called. The Lord said to Paul, the New King James Version says, my grace, verse 7 and 8, is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, what you're going through, God says, I'm using it to show me off. Y'all missed it. You said, God, use me. God says, I'm doing what you said you wanted me to do, I could do. I'm going to use you with all the stuff you're going through, and then I'm going to turn that around and show myself. Y'all don't like that. You don't ask God to use you and then change your mind. The New Living Translation says, my grace is all you need when you're going through. It says, my power, listen, works best in weakness. In other words, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, because he delights in taking situations where human strength is lacking to demonstrate the greatness of his power. God wants people to see how awesome he is when you're not God is. I wish somebody would. God says, if you can do it, then you'll take credit. I heard somebody say this. You know, there's people that take weakness and they misinterpret it. They think weakness is, you know, giving way, doing it. God says, no. And I've heard people say this, this ain't a time to be praying. You know, you need to, you know, just take action, do this and that. What does that mean? Put your religion down? No. When you got troubles in your way, when you're responding and facing troubles, it's time to talk more to God, pray, and allow God to tell you what you need to do. If you got to fight somebody, you need to know how God wants you to attack it. Somebody thinks because you pray that means you taking the weak side. No, God says you taking the wisdom side. God's denial of Paul's request for healing turned out to be a blessing. Amen, somebody. You didn't know how much you could be blessed until you had to take what God gave you. Hello, somebody. From the pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor. It hurt, and it hurt real bad. But because it hurt, and when it was hurting, I didn't understand it. But after a while, I understood. Can you imagine your biggest heartache or major problem in your life turning out to be a blessing in disguise? Y'all got to be personal and think about it. Is anybody other than anybody going through anything? I am. Some of y'all ain't raising. Some of y'all ain't. But it's coming. You didn't raise your hand. It's coming. You better raise your hand because God said, oh, you mean I missed you? Oh, let me give you. Oh, you don't want nobody. I'm going to give you where you got like Lakeisha. Both hands up. You can't raise a hand. And if you're not, if you're a believer and you ain't going through something, then maybe you're not doing anything right. You know what the Bible says, in this world you shall have tribulation. You're going to be tossed around every now and then. I don't care who you are. Mega church pastors have major problems. Money can't cure problems. Rich people have problems. Well, I'd rather be rich than a problem. Watch what you say. Watch what you ask for. You have plenty of money. Money can't buy, but to take away your problems. No, it may hide them for a minute. For 1 minute. I heard one commentary. Am I doing all right, y'all? This is going to be part one, by the way. This is part one. One commentary explains that the thorn kept Paul from imagining himself as a spiritual superman. It revealed to Paul the reality of his mortality and weakness despite his extraordinary revelations. God revealed some stuff. You know, some of us, not in here, but other places, some of us, when God tells you something, you think you all that. God told me. God says, yeah, but I don't want you to get a big head. So with that revelation, I've got to humble you. See, the problem with trying to live up to an image of being a spiritual superman, or superwoman for that matter, is that as Superman, you're never weak. Life's bullets bounce off you when you claim to be Superman. And when you claim to be a Superman or Superwoman, you're a fixer. You're a problem solver. You're a tower of strength. You're a conqueror. And when you think you're a conqueror, you know, you think so because you win in sports, you know, you excelled in that. You win in business, so you know, you're a good businessman or businesswoman. In the gym, you can do all kind of stuff. And man, for that Superman with the ladies, wow. You know, so you think. I gotta throw that in there, so you think. I'm learning, though, that those aren't the conquest that ultimately proves your manhood. No. See, here's the question, really. Can you conquer yourself? Did y'all hear that? That's the issue. Can you conquer you? Because you got people that think they all of that. And a bag of chips. You got money, you think you all of that. You got clothes, you think you all of that. They've been telling you pretty and handsome for years. You think you all of that. You drive fine cars, you think you all of that. You got a fine big church, you think you all of that. God wants to know, can you conquer you? See, you know more about you other than God than other people. See, in other words, you know behind the scenes, you a volcano, temper. Everybody see you as the Mrs. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. They didn't see you in the store when somebody cut across. You know, you've been waiting in the line and you almost up and somebody say, excuse me, I only got a few things. Can I get in front of you? You say, nah, what the heck? And then they tell the person with a cart, bring it up. Yeah. Y'all missed it. You've been waiting 8 deep. Yeah. It's almost your turn. Yeah. You better watch this in the supermarket. Somebody says, sir, ma'am, can I get up front of you? I got to, you know, and they're holding maybe 3 things. You think that's all. They didn't tell you that's it. And you say, go ahead. They said, come on, honey. And you put your card in, got it lewd. Did you say praise the Lord? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. No, only you and God know what you said to that person you cussed out. Can you conquer yourself? How about that chainsaw mouth that some people have? It rips people. Not in here, not out there, but you got some people, all they do is talk about other people. I said not in here, Not you, unless it is. You ever know somebody that talks about it? It's in Bible study. We're talking about people that talk about people all the time. I didn't say you can't talk about it. I don't want to get in my lesson. You can't talk, but all you do, you don't see no good. Matter of fact, you talk about me ever since you've been sitting. You ain't said a word, but you thought it. You're thinking it now. I wish you would just get to the who. I ain't in a rush to explain what God is saying. What about that addiction that's calling the shots behind the scene? You know, everybody's got something that they're hooked on. Something. It may not be what they're doing down in Kansas name, but you got something that you're hooked on. And the Bible teaches that it's better if a man can conquer himself, his own propensity to sin and have it his own way. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, it's better to be patient than powerful. It's better to have self-control than to conquer a city. The last part of 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, I said the last part says, young men are praised, listen, for proving that they are strong by the evil they overcome. In other words, every man, every woman has his or her kryptonite. Hello, somebody. Okay, how strong you think you are, there's a kryptonite. There's something that'll take you down. Am I right about it? Okay, how strong you are and hiding or denying your weakness only guarantees it's going to bring you down. Pretending you've got it all together only sentences you to a dangerous time of loneliness. Because you don't want nobody to know that you're weak. Remember, I'm talking about it's okay not to be okay. Look at somebody and tell them it's okay not to be okay. I dare you. Or it's okay not to always be okay. I told y'all last week, my sister asked me, she's sitting over there, Denise asked me recently, let me have that, where's that mic just in case. She asked me recently, she said, Pastor, how you doing? And you know what I told her? I said, I'm not doing good. Pastor said he's not doing good. He's a picture of strength. No, I wasn't doing good. I wasn't feeling good. Stuff was bothering me. Anybody other than me ever not just feel good? Something's bothering you? No, I'm not Superman. I'm human. And the thorn kept Paul close to the Lord. Because he had to trust God, not himself. Money couldn't do it. His superior health couldn't do it. His political connections couldn't help him. His family couldn't do nothing with him. Verse 10. Paul stopped protesting his situation and began to boast and even take pleasure in his weakness so that the, listen, power of Christ could work through him. Verse 10, Paul said, that is why for Christ's sake, y'all hearing this? I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardship. Making sense, paradoxical. I delight in persecutions. I delight in difficulties. I delight in people messing with me that ought not be messing with me, because if they was messing with the old me, they'd be in a mess. Y'all missed that. But I'm a new me. Did y'all hear that? That's why I look out here sometime and I hear some Christians in some churches, we don't have it here, I don't think, and look at somebody, another, you're looking at somebody in the pew and talking about, I'll slap you in your face. I say, you don't know who you're talking to. I ain't got there yet. No, is anybody got here where somebody just come and slap you across your face and tell you shut up and sit down? I want some of that what you got. I ain't got it yet. Cindy, you got it? Somebody go, psh. Denise, you got it? Psh. Let me call your name. Who back there? No, I ain't gonna call your name. Who? Maurice, oh, Maurice, can you go, psh. Elder, somebody, psh. Ain't happening. Curtis, psh. Ain't happening. For when I'm weak, we're going to talk about that for a minute. Then I am strong. Yeah. Paul expressed the paradox of his condition. That in his frailty, in his weakness, he was strong because, listen, his strength came from the Lord. Y'all missed it. If it's not coming from the Lord, then you think you got it. And God don't want you to take credit for what comes from him. Don't you know if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, goodness and mercy, you wouldn't have got up this morning? I don't care how good you felt, you jumped out of bed. You jumped out on his energy. Y'all missed it. You jumped out. You didn't have a stroke because God decided not to allow you to have a stroke. I said it's okay not to be okay. Why? Because God always has a purpose. Always has a purpose for everything you go through and I go through. I already asked, is anybody going through? But sometimes without asking, I say, God, can you kind of sneak me in? What's going to happen up front? You know, I'm going to be delivered. Can you kind of give me a glimpse of that? God said, nope. Yeah. Yeah. You got to trust me according to my word. Yeah. Well, Lord, you know, I don't have this, that. What about my word? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Anybody ever got kind of shallow on that verse? You know what God, anybody, come on, y'all looking at me, y'all super. Anybody, you know what the word says, but because you've been going through for a long time, it's not as penetrating it as it was 6 months ago. Yeah. I know what God says, but I'm glad y'all said it. Yeah. But I don't want to say it, but I'm not as strong in my belief as I was back then. I said, God has a purpose, and it's okay not to be okay. And when we, like Paul, stop resisting and complaining and let the power of God rest in and on us, we make room, listen, we make room to receive God's blessings. God wants to bless us in the midst of, or while we, or after he gets us out of trouble. It's a setup. God wants to set us up so that I can be a fool for Christ. See, I already know that God is going to do something here in this church. I've been here 27 years, and who's counting? God said I had to remove some things. I had to remove some people. I heard the example, honey, when a rocket takes off, it has to drop off some stages. I forget what they call it. You see three, it only can go so far. People can only go so far in this ministry. God has to drop off. Let them drop off. Nothing wrong with them, but that's as far as they can go with what God has for this ministry. I don't know who God is talking to this morning. Probably you, Michelle. He's talking to somebody else. You just admitted it. By allowing God's strength to be made perfect in your weakness, we have the opportunity. I'm almost done for this part. to display God's glory in us without flaw. And because God is perfect in every way, God has the power to make up for any weaknesses we have. Remember, over and over, the Bible gives examples of God's strength manifesting when his people were weak. Y'all remember Moses in Exodus 4 and 10? When the Lord called him to go to Pharaoh, Moses cried, "I'm not adequate. Please send somebody else." God replied, "Go anyway, Moses, because I will be with you." Exodus chapter 4, verses 12 to 15, God told Moses, "Now go, I will be," God is talking to somebody this morning, "Now go, I will be with you." What part don't you understand? "I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses, here we go again, Moses, we got Moses is in here. But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send somebody else." Verse 14, Exodus 4, then the Lord became angry with Moses. God says, "I keep on telling you, and you keep telling people how spiritual you are. And then when I tell you what I want you to know and what you I want you to do, you read the word, but you won't take it at heart." God says, I'm angry. He said, "All right, what about your brother Aaron? I know he speaks well." God's still trying to work with you. Use Aaron. Talk to him and put the words in Aaron's mouth. What about Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verses 14 to 16? Then the Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites I'm sending you." Did you know sometimes God will use our trouble so that we can help somebody else? Rescue somebody else. The hell that you're going through, the trouble that you're in. See, you can, come on, people can relate to you more if you've been there, done that. That's right. Somebody that's been raped, I don't want you, but God says you can go to help somebody else who's been there. Somebody whose child has been in trouble in jail, who's a drug dealer or whatever, God says, since you have that situation, you can go help somebody else deal with it. If you've had somebody that die in your family and you've had to deal with it, God says, "I'm gonna let you handle that. I'm gonna let you go through that, and you're gonna get through it, but then I'll use you." Pastor Point, or somebody else, some other pastor that has churches and the COVID and all that, and you had have nobody, yeah, the devil don't want you. Had a crowd, and then after COVID, you're trying to get people back, and the devil, no, God wants you, Pastor Pointer, to go through this so that you can help somebody else to get through it. That's right. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Can I say it again? I don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's okay not to be okay, Pastor Pointer. Y'all felt that passion?
Yeah.
Keisha, that was sick. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Is anybody else don't like something?
Yeah.
Anybody else don't like something?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing what God called me to do. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't have to hide that I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Let me get ready to close here. Even more important, Jesus, he went through. He died for you and for me. Am I right about it? The cross of Jesus is more than a sign. It's proof of your redemption and mine. I read that 2 Corinthians 13 and 4 says, y'all don't want to miss this. Although he was crucified in weakness. Although Jesus was crucified in weakness. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. He now lives by the power of God. We too are weak, just as Christ was. But when we deal with you, we will be alive with him and we'll have God's power. I hear somebody, because when I read that passage, I said to myself, what are you talking about? Jesus was crucified in weakness. What's that mean? Jesus was weak? Is that what you're saying? No. What we're talking about that is that as a consequence of Jesus' willingness to accept in his humanity a situation of weakness, the adversarial powers, the enemy, the devil, and evil people took advantage of that. He lowered him. He humbled himself. Y'all missed this. He never stopped being God. He just turned down the lights. Y'all missing this. He was still God. How do you think Lazarus got up? Man couldn't wake him up. God told him, get up. He had to turn down the lights. Because if he hadn't turned them down, then you would say the Lord Jesus can't relate to your weaknesses. So he turned down, for lack of better words. He put himself in a vulnerable situation, predicament. You know, he said, I have power to lay my life down. He said, then I have power to take it back up. But the enemy thought they had taken him out. But it backfired on them. Where you see that at, preacher? 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 says, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. Because if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord. If they had known what was going to go down, because Jesus died for you and me. If they had known that you and I would get saved and be on our way to glory when we leave from this side, they wouldn't have wanted to kill him. If they had not known, if they had known that without the shedding of blood, we could not be forgiven, they wouldn't have shed his blood, because they wouldn't have done nothing to help us. But they didn't know. But Jesus hung and he still said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive George Pointer. Father, you put your name in it. Forgive Ron. Father, forgive my mother. Father, forgive my children. Father, forgive my neighbor. Father, forgive my wife. Father, forgive my husband. Father, Father, for God, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. I said, we don't need to hide from God because of our weaknesses. But instead, we need to run to him so that he can equip and empower us to accomplish his will. I'm closing, but you need to know, and I keep saying it over and over and over, it's okay not to be okay sometimes, because everything has purpose. I don't have to come to church and fake it and keep on acting like everything's wrong. Okay, but listen, that doesn't mean you come to church and you look at people with your eyes frowned and face frowned and head looking down. No, you still have a smile on your face because you know you trust in God. You don't have to look sad. But I want you to know that God knows what he's doing. And Paul's thrown thorn in the flesh just lets us know that everybody from the pulpit to the door has to go through some stuff.
I said I'm closing, but y'all need to get this. When you are in the midst of your discomfort, whatever it might be, first of all, you need to know you're never alone.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? Y'all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They refused to bow down and worship the idol king Nebuchadnezzar. And they had to go through, I said they had to go through the fire, in the fire. And in the fire, it was three that was put in, but the Lord said, I won't leave you alone. There was a fourth figure in there with them. I don't know who God is talking to, but whatever you are going through, you're not by yourself. The devil is a liar. Don't let him tell you you're by yourself. Am I right about it? You're not alone, and God knows how you feel. Am I right about it? He knows how you feel. He knows just what you're going through. Not only you're not alone and he knows how you feel, but nothing takes God by surprise. Everything that's happened, God already knew it ahead of time. But now all he wants to know is how you gonna handle it. How you handle it now? Are you ready to give up? Do you want to fight and fuss? Do you want to throw in the towel? Never give up. God knows he's gonna take care of you. He's not surprised. You're not alone. God has a purpose for everything you're going through and everything I'm going through. Do I have a witness? I said he has a purpose. But wait a minute, whatever that is, as I close, a pain, or the pain is not the end of the story. No, because it'll soon be over. I heard a father told a story. He said, one time I had to hold my daughter down at the doctor's office while she got her shots. He said, I tried to say the right things, but finally told her we could get some ice cream after she finished. The fact that she can look forward to something nice after the painful experience got her more receptive to taking the shots. Y'all missing this. Let me see if this will help. There's a story of a Christian woman who was always bright, cheerful, and optimistic. Even though she was confined to her room because of terminal illness. The story goes on to say she lived, listen, in an attic apartment on the fifth floor of an old rundown building. A friend decided one day to visit her, and she brought along with her another woman who had a lot of money, great wealth. And since there was no elevator in this building, the two ladies began the long climb upward to the attic. And when they reached the second floor, the well-to-do lady commented, what a dark and filthy place. And her friend replied, it's better higher up. And when they arrived at the third landing, the remark was made, things look even worse here. Again, the reply was, it's better higher up. Y'all missing this. The two women finally reached the attic level where they found the bedridden saint of God. She had a smile on her face, radiating with joy that filled her heart. And although the room was clean and flowers were on the windowsill, the wealthy lady still said, I don't know how you could be in this bleak, dark place. I don't know how you can live in here. Must be very difficult for you to be here like this. And without a moment's hesitation, the shut-in sick woman said, "It's better higher up." I don't know who God is talking to. I said, it's okay not to be okay, but it's going to be better. It's going to be better. It's going to be better higher up. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. My help, your help comes from the Lord. It's better. It's going to be better. Higher up. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. It's okay not to be okay, because it's going to be better higher up. How many of us believe that? It's going to be better soon, and very soon it's going to be better higher up. Stop looking down. Stop looking around. Stop looking back. Look up. Look up. Look up. That's where your help comes from. Somebody in here, as we rest on our feet, somebody in here, I don't know who you may be, somebody out there, these are days, troubling times. You don't know, I don't know whether I'll live to see tomorrow. I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. But you need to be prepared, just in case you and I were to die today, because the Bible says we all have an appointment with death. Everybody. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, right now, saved. First call, in here and out there.
I can search the whole
world. If you don't have a relationship with the God of heaven, the only way to have that is through God the Son. Jesus died for your sins and mine.
There is none.
He's the one that's going to get us to heaven.
Like you.
He says, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man, no woman, no boy, girl can get to my Father in heaven except by me. Is there anybody in here that's not saved? You need to come. Out there, raise your hand up.
No one else.
If you're not saved, you've got to, God's not going to force himself. You've got to say, Lord, it's me. God can see a black ant on a black rock at midnight. You can't hide.
I can search.
You want to go to heaven? Jesus said, he's the way. Anybody here not saved? You've not acknowledged that you're a sinner. You want to do so? Out there.
There is none.
Second call.
Like you.
You're already saved, but you don't have a church home. The doors of ABC, this church, is open. Why don't you come?
There is none.
You keep on looking for a perfect church. There is no perfect church.
Oh, yes.
You don't have a perfect home. And if you were to ever find a perfect church, don't you join it. Because you'd mess it up. We're still a work in progress.
It touched my heart like you.
But we're striving for perfection here at ABC in Christ. You're not saved. You don't have a church home. The doors of ABC is open to you. Slip up your hands. You need to belong to somebody's church. Third and last call.
There is none.
You already saved. You already have a church home. But you can still be a backslider. Out of fellowship. The joy of your salvation is waning.
It's done.
Sweet now.
Like you
COVID,
know.
Troubles, life has just pressured you so much.
No one else.
You need to be restored back to the joy of your salvation. Is there somebody here said, God is talking to me. I need to be rejuvenated. I need my fires going out. My coals, I need to have them. Look, I need to get hot again for the Lord. Either one of those calls. Out there, if you're not saved, repeat this prayer. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I accept your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my personal savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me another chance. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being so good. Father, we thank you for the souls. We thank you, God, for your word. Convict, convince, and convert. It shall accomplish what it set out to do. Encourage somebody today. It's okay not to be okay. As we leave from this place, grant us all traveling mercies. Take us safely to our destinations and then bring us back safely. Bless my sister-in-law as she heads back to Virginia.
Touch my heart.
Have your way, God, with all of the families in this place. We say yes to your will, yes to your word, and yes to your way. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Tell somebody it's okay not to be okay.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
My.
I can serve the whole eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Am I right? I don't know, but I'm on.
Welcome to Abyssinia Baptist Church. Make sure you click like, click follow, and click subscribe. Welcome to Abyssinia Baptist Church. Make sure you click like, click follow, and click subscribe.